The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Nerdy Show, a weekly podcast dedicated to every facet of nerddom, from comics and video games to science and technology. If it's geeky, we've got it covered. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Tony.
I'm Boar.
Hey, I'm Doug.
And this episode, we're going to talk about, well...
Marshmallows.
We're going to talk about marshmallows, first and foremost, but hold on to that thought. An unexpected presidential candidate, some unlikely candidates for the number one video game villain of all time. The problems with virtual reality, as recently learned by firsthand experience, and some interesting stuff about Rick and Morty, as well as whatever else comes to mind. But it's first and foremost, crazy. It's going to get crazy because I am jacked on sugar because we just ate a shit ton of marshmallows.
Yeah, we did, and they were artisanal marshmallows in the truest sense, in the truest sense of the word artisan.
We actually strolled down to the old farmer's market and had an artisanal.
We're not even being facetious.
No. We did actually.
No, this really happened right before the episode.
My poor pasty nerd body nearly burst into flame.
You are so weak and feeble.
I came back drenched in sweat.
You did. It was. We could practically just push you across the ground in your own little trail.
And to be honest, I was only expecting a slightly better version of those gimmicky marshmallows that come out around Halloween, you know, or Valentine's Day, where it's like, oh, these are chocolate marshmallows,
so
and they're brown.
You've never had, like, the homemade marshmallows before?
Not really, no.
I have had homemade marshmallows before, and these were pretty good,
yeah,
as far as those go, even.
Well, because, like, just, again, I only thought it'd be slightly better. I was not prepared. For, like, when I walk up, it's like, well,
they were going to be peeps.
Yeah, I thought they were going to be all these, like, oh, these are the like, strawberry marshmallows, and they're red. And these are the banana marshmallows, and they're yellow. No, this isn't
at all. These are marshmallows.
Actual care was put into this.
And they punch you in the face with their flavorfulness and their deliciousness.
Now, one thing that they had there, but I didn't ask them to fire it up, was they had a little torch.
Which is
amazing. If you get those marshmallows and you have them torch them, they're amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, well, what this was is it's a company called Sugar Rush Marshmallows. They're pretty new. Longtime listeners of Nerdy Show may remember our catastrophically beautiful bacon episode, listener-requested episode, where we went to Nashville, Tennessee to get the down low on bacon and also eat Star Wars food sculptures in the shape of Star Wars ships that we made with the Proto Man and chowed down on that. It's all documented at nerdyshow.com/bacon.
And there was a food crawl.
I love that that's a thing.
And there was also the food crawl.
Yeah.
The reason I brought up the bacon episode specifically was our accomplice who helped us make – really, she was the brains behind those Star Wars ships. Crystal, she's our –
resident foodie.
She's our cook behind the scenes. Whenever Nerdy Show needs something done with food,
she is.
She's the one we go to. She's a pro.
Yeah, she's an actual cook.
And these are friends of hers, Jean and Julie, who started up the Sugar Rush Marshmallows company at sugarrushmarshmallows.com. And they're not open for online business yet, but they will be soon. You can send them an email at info@sugarrushmarshmallows.com.
And you should.
Maybe get on their mailing list, make a special request perhaps if you're in need of emergency marshmallows. But this is an unpaid advertisement, just something fun I thought we could do that turned into an opportunity to talk about some local people in Orlando who are doing
some
fun stuff.
And they did mention that if you're local to, like, the Orlando, Florida area, that you could arrange something with them to get marshmallows.
Yeah, like an illegal marshmallow drop-off.
Yeah. No, they're going to be in a back alley somewhere.
In a back alley with a trench coat.
No.
They're going to be having another stand. Like they said, they're going to go to like a Publix or something. You can go and you can get some extra. You get some samples there. But it was
these aren't just your run-of-the-mill marshmallows that have just been, you know, whatever.
I mean, they have vanilla.
There were blueberry marshmallows made with fresh blueberries. There was cold pressed coffee marshmallows. There was a key lime pie marshmallow that was dusted in homemade graham crackers.
There were bourbon marshmallows
that were made with fresh homemade bourbon,
and it was so good. I'm still feeling it.
It was the churro marshmallow, which was awesome.
Yes.
And they've got actually a lot of marshmallow and, porn on their Instagram.
Did we mention the homemade graham crackers?
No, we did not.
Well, we kind of did.
Oh, we said there was graham crackers, but these
were made from scratch. Graham crackers. And then awesome. They had marshmallow fluff, which was, I think that was my favorite thing.
And perhaps I think the most mind-bending thing was they had what looked like, let's call it...
Marshmallow cupcakes?
Marshmallow cupcakes about the size of a double-decker Reese's peanut butter cup.
Or like yep.
It was like a giant Rolo. Only made out of marshmallow on the outside.
It was a marshmallow Rolo, Rolo.
It was actually stuffed with things. They had a cookie butter one, and then the coup de grace was a caramel one. Yeah. Where, I mean, like, you're eating this marshmallow, and all of a sudden, caramel starts flowing down your... It was like some Willy Wonka magic candy shit.
It was. That was my hands down my favorite. I would have bought, like, a bag of those.
And we even tried on the way back. We tried to buy them, and they were not accepting our funds. Yeah. They just wanted to give us marshmallows.
That's the genius of it. It's just like, oh, you here, take this free one. And it's like, oh, tell your friends. Oh, and, hey, can I just buy some? That's like, oh, no, you can't buy some.
Built-in scarcity
I will make you money is not
good here. Yeah, it's
like, so it was awesome. SugarRushMarshmallows.com. Unpaid advertisement. Can't go wrong. Really dazzling. And I'm messed up on sugar.
No, we sampled everything. And it's
some more than once.
And, yeah, and did they say good. You could recommend ones to them? Like flavors?
Yeah. They're chefs. They clearly have some very clever food brains. And like I mentioned, the marshmallow porn on their Instagram, you'll see that what we ate today was only the tip of the iceberg.
Because idea. What? Ecto Cooler's coming back.
I was just going to say that.
Oh, Ecto Cooler Marshmallows.
We need to get Ghostbusters here. Ecto Cooler's going to come back. I'm like, do they take requests? Because that's coming out soon.
I am in on that.
Ecto Cooler Marshmallow might be...
There's even perfect because of the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, we just have the Ecto Cooler Puft Marshmallow Man right there.
Recommendation, what about a homemade Twinkie filled with Ecto Cooler Marshmallow?
You're going too far. That's too far.
Not for them.
It's like a homemade Twinkie.
You're flying too close to the sun there.
I think that'd be extremely dangerous.
But you know what would happen if a marshmallow flew too close to the sun, right?
The likely disgusting Ghostbusters limited edition key lime Twinkie that is out.
I heard that wasn't so bad. I heard that was okay.
I have no reviews yet.
Yeah. But I think it'd be extremely dangerous to get these two together.
Anyway, other shit that's been happening. Tony, what you got? What's been happening with you?
Quite a bit. I got promoted at work last month. That's not nearly as interesting as the fact that my internet no longer sucks. For the past 4 years.
You got promoted at work. You had to fire a pregnant lady, I heard.
I did. That did in fact happen.
We probably can't go into details about that, but I just wanted to point out Tony had a very human moment.
I did.
It wasn't because she was pregnant. They had to clarify.
Was pregnant. She had a number. Well, she was, you know what, not going to get into it.
It was an emotional situation. You didn't feel good about it.
I did not. No, but I did it because.
Do you think they promoted you just because no one else wanted to do that?
There is that distinct possibility. I do a lot of things that nobody else wants to do.
Neither confirm nor deny.
Nor would I, because why would I admit to any sort of guilt? So I just recently, for the past 4 years or so, I've had what the stream team has affectionately dubbed shitty Florida internet. Because I had 20 megabits through Bright House, our lovely cable provider down here. And when I would download large files, what should have taken like maybe 20, 30 minutes, maybe an hour, would take 3 or 4. Because every 5 minutes or so, my modem would shut itself down. Like, it was just like, it's too much work. I'm going to go take a 5-minute break. I'll be back. So it would do this.
Throttling your bandwidth there.
Pretty much, only in a way that the physical component was doing it for them. Like, I'm pretty sure it was getting just, like, kickbacks on the side.
So the modem itself would just, like, take a crap and
and then reset itself.
Wow.
That's weird. Okay. I mean, we use Bright House here in the Nerdy Show studio. Never had these problems.
Well, do we have much of a choice besides?
Oh, sure. We have many choices.
Well, when you live in an area like Tony does, where there's a lot more houses in like the same area,
then
the junction boxes can get overloaded or the wires are a little bit too old.
That makes sense.
Like line attenuation, stuff like that.
However, last week, I finally got I got a message from Bright House. They sent me a letter and they said, congratulations, you no longer have 20 megabits. We've upgraded you to 50, but your modem's out of date. Come upgrade it. And it was like, fantastic. Now I have an excuse to go get this taken care of. I go and I replace my modem. And while I'm there, they're like, you know what? You actually qualify for a special. We can get you 100 megabit for half of what you're paying now. And then when you're done with that, you're just going to be paying what you paid when you walked in the door. And I said, yes, please. And thank you. So now I have 100 megabit internet. I have quintupled my download speed. Wow. I am staring into the sun. The past few days have been just this downloading Nirvana. There is not. I downloaded a.
You 16, downloaded the like discography
Johnny,
of Nirvana.
Johnny Mnemonic. You're going to download directly to your brain now.
Oh, like, absolutely. I have just attempted to shove USB cords into the back of my neck. It has not been successful so far.
A lot of scabs back there.
Yeah, it's that's why
USB?
I'm facing. Yes.
That'd be too slow.
It's a United Serial Baldini bus.
It's not working. Keep going.
No. Anyway.
3.0. Just clarify.
3.0. I appreciate that. I am third generation.
So anyway, you joined Modern Times.
And it's amazing. You guys have been living in the fucking future, and it's great.
The stream team is finally up to date. Hey, Tony, where can everybody find you stream?
You can find us over at twitch.com/nerdyshow, which is where we do the stream team. We are actually going to be, we stream every Thursday and Sunday. And we have a good time. We make fun of each other. We play games where sometimes the community can get involved. It's good fun.
I actually go on tour and stream in various bathrooms throughout the area.
That's a urinary stream. That's slightly different.
Oh.
Slightly different.
Gotcha.
We smell about the same, but we produce more content.
Beautiful.
And with this fancy fucking new internet of mine, I downloaded the new Ratchet & Clank game, which is aces. If you've ever wanted to play a Pixar movie, I highly recommend it for anybody who owns a PS4.
There's also Team Fortress 2.
Team Fortress 2 looks like...
That's a Pixar game.
That looks like old Pixar. This looks like new Pixar. I mean, the state of the graphics...
And if you're quoting Team Fortress, there's also Overwatch, which we discussed in the previous episode.
But is that really Pixar?
I'm so upset about Overwatch.
Why are you upset?
Because they have the final beta period before they release is next week. Well, this week, if you're listening now.
I has a code.
And yeah, I do too. And
oh, you poor
dog. I have to go on a business trip all week during the beta period. And when I get back, it's over.
Yay!
I will play on in your memory, sir.
I'm upset about that.
That is
deep, dark sadness. How about you, Doug? What you been doing?
Work and Ghostbusters and struggling with life in between. No, it's not that bad.
Questioning your place in the universe.
No, but playing way too much Mutomo, and I ran out of questions.
Playing?
Yeah. Or answering questions on Mutomo, I guess.
How does one play Mutomo?
You drop the people, and you get the clothes, and you get the, you know...
You are really good at setting up Mutomo photos.
Yeah, no, I've been sending Kat the worst Mutomo photos. I won't go into it, but is that why
my character is always thinking about Doug because Doug's just sitting there answering questions all day?
Your character is always coming in and talking about yourself, and I have a photo. I took a photo of this because I was like, just like Borg.
I'm pretty sure that's how Mutomo works. The characters all just talk about themselves.
No one else comes into my house and talks about themselves while wearing what I was wearing.
were you a Butter Samurai too?
No. This was this was the Gothic Chic.
We were both wearing the same prince outfit.
Yeah, in memory of a prince.
I still had a sword and you didn't.
Now, if you're listening to this, there is a video component to the show, so when Doug pulls this picture up, you'll be able to see it. And tell your friends if they're more into listening to videos.
I'm talking about Arceus. You're talking about yourself and laughing. You just told a joke about yourself.
Hold the camera, not me. I can...
There it is. Okay. So, yeah.
There's a boy laughing about himself.
I have definitely not done much Mutomo on purpose. It's not... Yeah.
Whew. I still don't have it downloaded.
Good for you. Tony.
I'm avoiding
showing
addicting
some,
things.
Some human restraint there. Good old-fashioned human restraint.
I'm attempting to.
Should I show them the last one I sent you?
Yeah, show them the last one you sent me.
It's just like, show the people at home, the lovely people at home.
And describe it. Bore, describe what you're about to see.
I'll just have you guys describe it. I won't show it. This is half the fun.
No, show it.
We have a video component
to the show.
All right.
But we will still describe it for those who are still stuck in audio.
I'm going to make it brighter here just so it's...
Well, stuck in audio, many would argue, is the primary platform here.
Holy fuck!
It's the Mutomo and the High Castle.
It's a live news feed.
That is a series of me's in the background, all very celebratory, including Cap...
No, that's not celebratory. That's like scared.
That seems like everybody's kind of cheering.
Hey, that's me. I have butter on my head and everything.
Yeah,
that is Hitler rising back to power.
Yeah, that's Cap in the back looking weird. Boar's in the back looking upset. I'm looking upset, but Brandon, because I didn't have you, Tony. Brandon, I had him like at his knees, like Leia and Luke Skywalker.
at Hitler's knees. Yeah.
Yeah, and then I went after that. I didn't show you this one yet, Cap. But this one's in the next one. There's me in the desert and Hitler's...
you love Hitler.
Withholding.
Hey, Hitler no, fan no, here, Doug Banks.
Because he's like the number one enemy that I have.
Dies ist dein Kampf.
Yeah, this is your struggle, is what it says, because it's Mein Kampf is my struggle, is the name of his book. So he's
anyway,
so in the desert,
it's your most horrible, and let's move on.
Yeah.
So as for me, it's been kind of a busy weekend for nerd stuff in Orlando. There was a big concert, actually, at the Geekeasy, where they had two full sets from Mark with the Sea and Schaefer the Dark Lord. Schaefer the Dark Lord flown down from D.C. for this event specifically because... crazy fun stuff happens at a comic shop's Geekeasy. A woman named Sierra, she had her 30th birthday party, mm-hmm. and as such, flew in Schaefer and had the show with him and Mark for free, for anybody. Free show, it's my birthday.
With some delicious fucking cupcakes.
With some good cupcakes there, yeah. Also, I was in a interviews with me were featured in a documentary put together by Consequence of Sound called Must There Be a Superman? And also, along for the ride, I should say, also highly featuring, less than cap, was the much more important Mark Waid and Neil Adams, among other commentators, people who've written books.
Can
on
you
the
give
subject.
Us a spoiler? Must there? No, what's the answer to that? Must there be a
that's,
spoiler?
That's the entire point of the documentary, so I won't, no. It's an
I just want a yes
journey.
Or no answer.
I will tell you yes.
I don't want to watch a documentary. I just want
it's
the
only
answer.
30 minutes long. You have time.
Do I?
I'm definitively going to Moogfest along with John and Brian from Flame On, John from Nerdy Show and Brian from Flame On, and that's in Durham, North Carolina, May 19th through 22nd. You may remember the last Moogfest 2 years ago where it's an incredible event that's like part convention, part music festival. It's a fusion of science, technology, transhumanism. There's actual cyborgs there and mm-hmm. Brilliant cutting-edge musicians. It's an incredible, incredible time, and I'm really excited to go back. So, yeah, it's happening in Durham this time, not Asheville, and it's May 19th through the 22nd. So we'll be there, and we'll be reporting from there in some way, shape, or form in podcast, definitely.
Are you all going to say Koopo, like the Moogs do in Final Fantasy?
Well, those are Moogs.
I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Well, I've also heard it pronounced Moog and Moog, and just for the record, Moog is the correct pronunciation.
Koopo.
Koopo, yeah. So yeah, that's it for me.
And now to the elephant in the room.
Yes.
Boar, what have you been up to?
Yeah, man.
Why are you calling me an elephant?
Because
he's really thin, man. Why are you gonna be like that?
Well, because he's packing a lot of dermatology issues. He's a pachyderm. I don't fight. Just roll with it, damn it.
What's wrong with my skin?
Yes, and Boar. Yes, and.
No.
Yes,
no,
and. Bad joke. Rob, talk about Boar. Talk about what you're gonna talk about.
Okay, so. If you've been paying attention at all in the past, I don't know, how many months have I been going on about VR?
A lot.
Since August?
I have been talking about VR for a long time because I've been excited about it.
You rebuilt your computer.
I did. I increased the power of my computer several times.
Tighten up the graphics.
Yeah, gotta tighten up them graphics. but I finally got the HTC Vive.
Mm-hmm.
And... Cap and I did an unboxing video, which I haven't released yet because I've been too busy to edit it. But
someday
soon we'll post that unboxing. Maybe even this week. No, I'm going to be gone. Soon we will do that. But
what do you think, Bor?
After we unboxed it, I spent like probably an hour and a half hooking it up and getting it working properly, mm-hmm. and then I spent about a solid at least 2 hours playing it and. I don't like it. And
like VR or just the Vive?
The Vive. After about 2 hours, I boxed it up and put it on eBay.
Sigh. Now, what about it was disappointing?
Now, let me talk about what's good first.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of things that I really liked about it, and it is an impressive piece of hardware. The controllers are amazing.
Mm-hmm.
They track your movement really perfectly, and if you've ever seen the videos like of people being like, wow, these are just like where I'm holding them. That's all true. It's really cool. The games, some of the games are pretty fun. Mm-hmm. The Labs game that's free has a bunch of different little simulated experiences that you could have fleshed out into a full game, like archery or there's like a slingshot thing. And it was all really, really fun, and I enjoyed playing the games. But my problem with the whole experience was the screen was extremely low resolution.
Mm-hmm.
And I could see between the pixels, which I don't know. If you're initiated into the VR community at all is called the screen door effect, where you can see between the pixels because it kind of looks like you're looking out a screen door.
With your face pressed up right against it.
Exactly.
Like most 10-year-olds do with screen doors.
Yes. And I couldn't take that. Like, I knew in the long run, I was going to get really frustrated with that, and I was going to want to get rid of it eventually. Mm-hmm. So while it's still worth more than what I paid for it, I decided to offload it.
That is unfortunate.
So you're waiting for two or three generations down the line.
Yeah. I think in another generation or two, I'll reevaluate. Like right now, NVIDIA is working on a VR headset that I know will never be released. not NVIDIA. I'm sorry. AMD. AMD's working on one. That,
who are they? I'm no NVIDIA, but.
Radeon, ATI cards. They own, they're owned by AMD. The okay. other major processor company in the world.
Gotcha.
There's Intel and there's AMD.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I guess there's Qualcomm.
We could go on, but we won't.
But the one that they're working on has a 4K screen for each eye.
Jesus!
Yeah, and I think that would be acceptable to me. But as it is currently, you can't read text unless it's gigantic. Like, fine details are pretty much impossible. They have ways around that where they'll blur things. And the lenses on the Vive have, like, towards the outside edge, there's different, like, ridges, like, magnification levels. I think it's to intentionally blur the outside. And it created a lot of lens flares. Like, in the main loadout area, there's like, a moon up in the sky that when you look at it, there's just, like, kind of like a trailing lens flare. And stuff like that just really irritated me.
Gotcha.
It's an interesting problem to have, and with all things with VR, it's hard to explain because you have to kind of be in it to get it.
Right.
Which is maybe even one of the reasons, too, because it's weird to have done as much waiting and as much prep as you have for this product to go, because you essentially went in blind. You had reviews, but you didn't have any hand-on experience.
I dropped almost $900 blindly.
Yeah. Just to...
And that's just on the hardware itself, not the upgrades that I did.
Granted, blindly, but with... glowing enthusiasm from everyone who's ever used
Everybody seems to love it. And even when I've been hanging around on the Reddit Vive subreddit, and, you know, I told people after I got it, there was like a thread for impressions and unboxings and stuff like that, like what people were thinking of it. And I posted, like, I didn't really like it. And here's why. And people were like, oh, let's downvote that. And I was like, seriously? You don't want, like, any sort of...
contrary opinion?
Contrary opinion, like... If somebody would have put these thoughts into my head beforehand, I might have, like, sought out one to play with it before purchasing it, you know?
Trying to save somebody else some money.
Exactly. Time. Right.
Because, and it sounds like, I mean, the problem that you're having with it isn't necessarily the problem that everybody's going to have.
I'm not saying that I hate it.
No, and but at all. If that is a hot button for another consumer to have that sort of visual fidelity.
Yeah, like,
and
if that's a deal breaker for someone.
Well, one of the apps that I was really looking forward to using is one called Virtual Desktop. And if you watch the videos for Virtual Desktop, it looks like, oh, I've got these monitors that are just hanging out in space and I can, you know, do productivity type stuff on them. And I got that program working. Like, I spent $15 on it and then, you know, started playing with it. But then I realized, oh, I can't read any text.
That does make it a little bit tricky.
Yeah.
And one of the first questions I asked you was, did you calibrate it? Because I know there's some very specific things. And the answer was, yes, you did.
Yeah.
So
I went through...
For anybody's asking questions...
I went through
right
all
now.
The troubleshooting stuff that I possibly could. And I know some people are going to be like, oh, after 2 hours, you decided that? Yeah. I could stare at pixels. I know what I was doing.
Like, and I can
attest... The pixels were very clear.
With the amount of troubleshooting that Boar has helped me out with, personally, just with my own hardware, I can attest to this man's ability to troubleshoot. So,
yeah,
you know, internet.
There was nothing wrong with the hardware. It was fine. It was functioning as it was supposed to. But... at the end of the day, one thing I noted kind of like afterwards is my girlfriend has like a 720p like old 13-inch TV that is on like the opposite side of her bedroom. And I was noticing text on that thing and I was like, hey, I can read little text on that from over here. And I couldn't do that on a $900 piece of technology that I bought recently.
I have a weird question. What are the chances it's your own human eyes?
Impossible.
Okay.
I've got better than 20/20 vision.
Okay.
That might be the problem then.
That I see too well.
You see too well.
Yeah.
That could actually be the problem. I'm no optometrist, but...
to some people, I describe the Vive as a bad vision simulator.
So I would be
now
right
you know
at
what
home.
It's like.
Yeah, now you know what it's like to bumble around without detail.
I was going to say, you know, the rest of us here in the studio are all wearing corrective spectacles.
Yeah, that's so true.
Or correcticles, if you prefer.
So I'll try not to brag about the whole natural vision thing.
You wouldn't hit a guy in the correcticles, would you?
Yeah, be careful over there, Two Eyes.
But one thing that really upsets me about my decision is that I had all these video ideas.
Yeah.
For a Nerdy Show that we were going to put.
I was going to draw.
Yeah, we were going to put. We were going to have you draw, and we were going to have people react to horror things.
I was
going to
do VMAC life size, which I would have had to get a goddamn ladder.
But because you didn't like it, you made the decision for everybody.
Hey, if everybody would have been willing to chip in money, I would have counted it.
No, that's fair. You bought it. I
don't want any part of offsetting $900.
No, neither do I. No.
Yeah, you're good to send that back. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
One game that I did play that I actually quite enjoyed, I just didn't $900 enjoy it, was Audio Shield.
What's that?
Have you ever played Audio Surf?
No.
Yes.
Okay, so you know a little bit. Like, yeah. You basically throw any audio track at Audio Surf, and then it creates like a racetrack that you go down and you collect the notes, essentially, in a very watered-down description.
Is this side-scroller like that?
Is this the one where you punch the notes as they come up to you?
Yes. And this one, you stand still, and you've got virtual shields in the like the controllers, and you have to block notes that are coming in at you to the beat.
And isn't one of the like demo tracks Through the Fire and Flames by Dragon Force?
I did not try that one. I did play Get Swifty immediately because
oh, that's amazing.
The Andromalus mix.
Yeah.
The Andromalus mix was actually on the first like page of suggested songs to play, and I'm like, hell yes, I'm gonna play that immediately.
That's funny.
It knows you so well.
So you know, get Swifty and you vibe.
Yeah, in my room I was just, you know, sitting there with a helmet on going to get Swifty.
Did you shit on the floor?
That's the only way I know how to get Swifty. So.
Now, we're all eagerly awaiting the third season of Rick and Morty, which sources indicate is coming faster than Mr. Poopy Butthole suggested to us. Now, Tony, you read, I don't know what this is yet, but you told me you read something or saw something that indicated some potential fascinating plot elements that have been seeded for this season in the prior season.
In season two, yeah. And there are some pretty heavy spoilers for season two in this, so if you're not familiar with it.
I don't know, but that's bad. This is the middle of a show. We can't do bad spoilers in the middle of a show.
Yeah, we can. We just say spoilers for season two of Rick and Morty. If you haven't seen it yet, then
you wanted
to
talk about theories on what's going to happen on season three, and you didn't think there was going to be spoilers for season two?
You know, I thought he would show some restraint. I don't know. Can we really not talk about this without spoilers? All right, let me put it this way. I'm going to subject myself to this, and I care, so you should too.
Okay. So,
are you telling us that you haven't watched all of season two of Rick and Morty?
I've seen season two. I don't mean spoilers for season two. I mean spoilers for season three.
There's no spoilers for season three.
How could there possibly be spoilers
because
for season three?
Because he's going to give us potential insights into the future.
It is potential, but...
Okay.
I mean,
there are no spoilers.
There's a Star Wars speculation podcast where all you guys do is talk about rumors.
What the hell? We have defenses in place on that show.
And
you clearly haven't
that,
listened.
It's also a lot of just conjecture that we make up. You know, so like it's
and
not
this
really.
State of the Empire is true
but
fact.
But is this what
we're truth seekers?
Are these observations that you made, or is this like?
No, this is a video essay that I saw.
Gotcha. Okay.
That someone else has done the research that I thought was a relevant enough idea.
The official Rick and Morty page did share it, too.
Oh, so you know the video I'm talking about.
I do.
Okay, yeah, it's this. There's a couple of scenes that happen that indicate that the Rick and Morty we follow in the episode with the gas cloud, what was the name of the assassin again? I cannot remember.
Krumbopulous Michael.
Thank you, Krumbopulous Michael.
Awesome. I love that guy.
He might not be dead.
Well, yes.
K. Michael is
he. K. Michael. Yeah. He might not be dead.
Oh, please don't be dead.
Because as established, I mean, the entire point of Rick and Morty, by and large, is that they hop through dimensions. The Rick and Morty that are existing in this current Earth were from a different planet where the other two died and yada, yada, yada. Or where they fucked up the Earth and they killed the other two.
So if you haven't seen the show, you should definitely dive in, because clearly it's very complex and very interesting.
I can summarize it in like two sentences if you want.
Go for it.
Okay. Basically, all that the theory boils down to is that we haven't been following the same Rick and Morty from the first season, most of the second season.
Because the Rick and Morty from the first season were what, 613? 631?
Right.
One of those two. And we've identified
C-137
that. C-137
or something.
C-137.
Yeah.
C-137.
And
when they dropped off Jerry at the Jerry Boree,
you see a different, they get a claim ticket, and it's 531.
Oh.
And at the end of that episode, to another Rick and Morty come up and say, hey, do you have 531?
Oh.
So the ones that killed K. Michael, clearly were from this other timeline. And then the next episode, I believe, or a couple episodes down the line, is Mr. Poopy Butthole. And Mr. Poopy Butthole in this is clearly a real person, has clearly been a part of their life.
Yeah.
Up to that point, which makes sense.
And why we haven't seen him.
Mr. Poopy Butthole was from a different universe.
Was from a different universe. And we know that this is the same universe because at the end of that Gas Cloud episode, Rick collects these like stones with purple gems on the top of them that he loads into the back of his spaceship car. They take it home. And at the start of that episode, when they're at the dinner table with Mr. Poopy Butthole and Jerry's brother, who isn't actually Jerry's brother, he's throwing those stones away. So it's clearly the same one.
Right. Oh, God. So, oh, God.
At least those two episodes were following a different Rick and Morty.
Oh, my God.
It's one of the best jokes. Michael, sorry you had no happy memories of him.
K. Michael is still potentially alive, which means that if there is anybody...
thousands of K. Michaels out there.
Thousands of Rick
there
and Morty's.
Should be, well, there should be an infinite amount because, as established, everything is always happening all the time. But at the same time, there's limitations that are put in place because there should be infinite Ricks, infinite Mortys, but they're not. They're still limited in some ways. And in fact, the goggles that Rick gives to the family in one episode to kind of see what their genetic identical genetic counterparts in other dimensions are doing, he used in a previous episode to find another Rick. So a lot of really weird, complicated stuff going on.
What is it that they reference all the time? The finite curve or something?
Yeah, the finite curve. The finding of the
central mall, finite
the central
curve.
Finite curve.
Yeah.
So
that's why we're somewhat limited on Ricks and Mortys, because they're only able to travel within a certain multidimensional spectrum.
Right.
Where that Rick got to that point in his life and did these things.
See, you summed it up in two sentences. I'll sum it up in one. It's a funny version of Jet Li's The One.
Maybe.
I would say The One is pretty funny. Not gonna lie. There's some comedy in that
film. Going through different dimensions. Some are dead here, some are not. And there's an impossible infinite number, but not really. It's limited because he's gone through it. Never mind. Okay.
Yeah.
I think it's valid.
So if you sat through all that and you still haven't watched Rick and Morty, go check out Rick and Morty. It's very complex on purpose, but in a way you can enjoy lightly, or you can dig in deep because half of the brains behind it, Dan Harmon, the guy who created Community, he has a history
of being really, really detailed.
Yeah. So, and telling.
See the Beetlejuice gag.
Yeah, telling complex jokes that require. That are not required by the average viewer, but
are there for those who seek
them. Yeah, if you want to dig, you can dig so deep.
And the part of this that kind of leads to season three, season two ends with Rick in a very high security prison. We've seen K. Michael get in and get into high security areas, no fucking problem. So who's going to bust him out? Who's going to bust out Rick?
Now Tony went for the ultra spoilers.
Which is fine. I wasn't concerned about season two spoilers in the least. I thought somehow it pointed to some kind of like, and here's how season three is going to resolve.
Mr. Poopy Butthole, mastermind behind it all.
that's really wild.
He's out for blood, revenge against Summer. Just done. So yeah, that is, I saw that. It was intriguing enough.
I thought Beth shot him.
It was Beth. But you know what? Genetic legacy. He's wanting to make sure that Beth suffers before he kills her.
That was a good way to cover up your mistake there.
You're damn right it was. That's called improv, sir. That is covering my ass. It's very tiny, so it's easy to do.
Now, Doug, there's also some media that you took in recently of an essay variety.
Yeah, it's more of an article variety. And in fact, I was just to give credit where credit's due, because I did find this interesting. It's going to at least lead to an interesting discussion. This is an article that the Washington Post did called "Which Country is the Most Frequent Enemy in Violent Video Games?" And I read this because I'm just like, violent video games? Like, what is this going to say? Like, the effect on our psyche, like, whatever. But I was curious because I wanted to see, like, you know...
Who are we the most comfortable killing?
Well, not just that, but just, like, just from a history standpoint, like, who is like the number one thing? Like, if you were to the thing that I'm disappointed about is I don't really like the sample size that they went with, and but I'll give you those details first before we launch into the the big answer of who is the person you're shooting at the most. Let's see there.
Now, it's funny because when I didn't take in this article. I wanted to be a blank slate for this discussion.
Right.
But when I saw the title, I assumed it was like all video games. So I was like, how many times are you going to stomp on an angry mushroom?
Right. And that's the thing. That's what drew me to it. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, what if it's something like you're not like mushrooms, you know, like the number one, that's the number one thing, or just like bugs or something.
There were a lot of mushroom villains in side scrollers.
Exactly. And then like, how do they count? They count it like how many, like, do you have to go through the game? And on average, how many people do you shoot? Like, you know, how do they do this? Mm-hmm. So,
the metrics they used.
Yeah, the metrics that they used. So their data set was, this is where I don't really agree, and I wish it was bigger, but I understand for the purposes of an article, they wanted to keep it small enough that they could handle it. The best-selling first-person shooters ranging from 2001 to 2013. It was a total of 57 games. Each game had more than 1.5 million units sold. Okay. So I'm like, okay, so it's the popular. It's not the most popular first-person shooters. It's a little disappointing. I wish they had, you know, the older games and side-scrollers and stuff. But they broke it down into these groups, and I'd like to have your guys' opinions on what you think is the most common one. They grouped them into several categories. Generic humans, so mm-hmm. just human enemies. Aliens.
Mm-hmm.
Monsters.
Mm-hmm.
Monsters including zombies. Terrorists from the Middle East. Terrorists from Latin America. Russians representing the state, Russians representing ultra-nationalists or separatists, and World War II enemies, so just World War II in general, also Iraq and North Korea. So based on
there's
those...
a lot of Call of Duty in this list, and I haven't played a lot of those.
Right, but based on... and it's not just Call of Duty games, but of all games, like the Halo's in there, you know, everything else.
Sure,
and
sure.
They fall under Aliens, of course.
My pick would be either World War II or generic humans.
What do you guys think?
I wish it was Aliens, but yeah. I think it's
so. If you had a bin of all those games and you just reached in, pulled one out, threw it in your game system, and you started playing, who are you shooting? Like, what would be most common? Like, what's
Middle
the
most Eastern
12-year-olds who have slept with my mom?
Oh! I unfortunately, I also agree with Boar. I think that that the post 9/11 insecurities have translated into more Middle Eastern virtual people being killed in video games.
Actually, if you took Middle Eastern terrorists, combined them with Latin American terrorists, it still wouldn't be as high as the number one country of people we shoot, which is Russia.
What?
We kill more Russians in video games than terrorists, all
you
terrorists.
You just pulled out Metro 2033.
Yeah. Russians
or
are the number
one.
Or any of
the modern warfare Call of Duty games.
Russians are the number one country representative of people that are in our crosshairs.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
The Cold War sucks.
Followed by Aliens. Aliens are number two. And then you get Middle Eastern terrorism, then Latin American terrorism, and then below that, what else do we have? We have below that, there's monsters. Below that is World War II enemies. And
yeah, because it was around 2001 where the World War II shooter kind of started to fall off
a little bit. Yeah,
yeah. So they lost that whole Medal of Honor time period in that selection that they had.
Oh, but overall, even in the World War II, you're still shooting Russians.
Yeah, but even,
to some extent,
well, those are your allies.
Well, no, they broke this down because there's World War II Russians, and then there's like modern day Russians that represent like a new state, or there's Russian extremists.
Gotcha.
But Russians in general are
is Stalin
the most
I can't really believe that. I can't. I mean, the only games I can think of that even have Russians in them are like the Metro games.
Well, hold on. I haven't played much Call of Duty, but I do recall there's a point where America is full on invaded, and there's some really impressive sequences.
By the Russians,
in it.
Yeah.
And it was the Russians, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so I didn't remember.
That was Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah. So, and also the no Russian level that sparks mm-hmm. the whole thing, that sparks this entire war. So I think Call of Duty has a way too big a pull on that data set.
Yeah.
But
because they are analyzing the top selling first person shooters, and Call of Duty has pretty much run that fucking
list. It's 57 games, though. 57 separate games, all lumped together.
And I imagine a third of which are Call of Duty.
Probably.
Or spinoffs of Call of Duty.
Oh, and then there's only 57 in that.
I know, that's why I said that's my problem with that data set. If you're talking about all video games of all time, then yeah, it's probably Monsters.
And even if you're, because even think just back to Call of Duty for a second.
And just first person shooters.
Black Ops takes place entirely in the Cold War.
There were lots of first-person shooters before 2001 also.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. That's why the data set isn't that great.
If you included the ones from before 2001, it would have been World War II, hands down.
But what is interesting is that for a modern first-person shooter, for this to be the most common enemy is a little surprising.
My name.
It is really weird. It's super
Comrade,
weird.
Speak with me.
Is it any wonder that, like, the things are so bonkers over there? They feel like they're the enemies again? I don't know.
Like, if they're playing all of our video games, yeah. It's like, you know, I feel bad because I'm like, man, I thought, like even in Terminator 2, 1991, John Connor was like, aren't they our friends now? Like, until you launch a nuclear strike.
Man, that's super weird. Well, if we have any Russian listeners, I would like to get your perspectives on this.
We're shocked by it too. It's like, you know, yeah. It's like, it doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem right.
I mean, clearly none of us, as we were trying to figure out which would be the most popular, none of us selected Russian.
No.
None of us.
And I
didn't even think that was going to be in like the top five.
Yeah.
I did suspect top five, but I did not think it would have been
I probably
that
wouldn't
prevalent.
Have even written it down on a list if somebody told me to write
more
down
than
10.
All terrorists combined, like...
Russians just would not have entered my brain as a possibility.
Super weird, you guys. That's super weird.
Let's make it aliens. let's just make it something that we can all unite against.
Ultimately, they're the cause we're going to have to unite against in the future anyhow.
Well, you know, the other thing was the new Independence Day movie's coming out, and I want to see, like,
are you saying that Russians are going to be the antagonists?
Behind it all? The ones who, like, sent out the signals, like, come destroy us.
They're the illegal aliens, the ones who were emigrating.
Oh.
No? All right, fine, whatever. Just saying, we'll Watchmen this shit and get the actual aliens, you know, Ozymandias behind it all sitting there saying, we need an outside force to fight against.
Why was that Christopher Walken all of a sudden?
That was Tony's dream casting for Ozymandias.
I've done it, you guys. I convinced the world to fight against a spaghetti monster. It was great.
As you may know, Nerdy Show is an entirely listener-supported podcast network.
It's you guys.
We rely on you for our continued existence, our very life's blood, and there's several ways that you can support us. One is to shop through Amazon. We have links at nerdyshow.com/Amazon, so if you shop there, anything you get gives back to Nerdy Show. It's a cool deal that requires no extra purchases from you. We actually have a kind gentleman who we've heard from before who's buying things on Amazon and telling us about them.
You a boss.
His name is Tomador64.
He's really neato.
He recently bought the Disney Infinity Spider-Man playset that comes with Nova, and he said this.
He said, "Hey, everyone. I just wanted to give more Amazon love your direction. I was able to get some birthday shopping done and help you guys out. I need more of your content in my life. I'm looking forward to many shows." And then in parentheses, Dungeons and Doritos, Ghostbusters, Liberty, State of the Empire, Flame On, and ellipses, Lightning Dogs. When will they be brought out of the pound?
It's a good question. Sooner than later.
And
is
he
the
goes
answer.
On to say, hashtag I was laughing out loud when you read my last donation. Seriously? After a dildo plug? Ba-dum-bum. May your gems be ever sparkly.
Thanks, Tomador.
It's very kind of you, sir.
And, also related to Amazon, if you go to nerdyshow.com/store, we have a number of stores where you can buy different kinds of things, including these t-shirts that we have printed on demand for you from Amazon, extremely high quality, like this Peekathor design I'm wearing, or this Dungeons and Doritos design, both drawn by Tony. Lots of cool stuff over there.
Yeah, and send in some donations so I can get one of these shirts that everybody seems to have except for me.
So cool.
Why don't you use your HTC Vive money?
That's true. I could.
Someone buy Boar's HTC Vive. So
somebody already did. I actually made $250 for trying it.
Why don't you buy all of us t-shirts?
You taking us to dinner later, Boar?
In addition to these stores, we have stores where we sell things like the Ghostbusters cards that in the video I flicked everywhere during our theme song. Why don't you hold some of those up, guys?
Yeah.
These allow you to play the Ghostbusters role-playing system from the 1980s in style. It's been out of print for years, and we have the materials at nerdyshow.com/GBRPG. That's one of the things we do.
Give her a pig.
The Amazon store with the shirts. And then also there's Society 6, which is a place that makes art prints. They do great prints on like pillowcases for like lounging pillows and shower curtains and wall clocks and all kinds of stuff. And Tony makes art for episodes in D&D and Lightning Dogs, and it's easy for us to just upload the art there and see what happens.
Because I work at a stupid high resolution.
To date, no one has bought anything on our Society 6 store. Until now. Yes, we have just heard from Robert Lickens, who has the privilege of being the first person to ever buy something from a Society 6 store.
First and best.
First and best. Who has that?
I think I have this one, yeah. He writes, "Hey, Cap and the gang, just thought I'd weigh in. I've upped my Patreon level to $5.
Yeah.
I needed that nerdcasting and multiverse content. Love that episode.
Woo! We did too.
Yeah, we definitely did. I also bought a Lightning Dog's wall clock from your Society 6 store.
What?
Keep it up with the fantastic content, and wish me luck this weekend for the first bust of the Fredericksburg Ghostbusters. So,
you bust them ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
You ain't afraid.
He and Christine from the forums got together and had a successful game.
Nice.
I got a recap.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I knew that they were talking like on the forums and getting it together. I was hoping it would work. Just
cap and recap.
Get in a boat. We're all about Nerdy Joe, unifying the nerds.
Yep. Yeah, so congrats on the Fredericksburg Ghostbusters, and thanks for being the proud owner of a Lightning Dogs timepiece, which we've shared an image of on the Lightning Dogs Tumblr and the Lightning Dogs Facebook group. And Lightning Dogs, which is our concept for an alternate reality 1980s awesome animated action cartoon, well, you can find more about that at lightningdogs.com, and there's more coming soon. As soon as we know exact dates, you'll know when the Lightning Dogs are going to return.
Hashtag HowlNoise.
And it's coming back big.
Yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. We have new patrons, actually. At the Patreon, you can get all kinds of extra bonus content, like the our like 3 hours worth of bonus content from our big episode, Nerdcasting the Multiverse.
We did so much stuff.
Underground bonus content! New patrons.
I love that so much.
Jeffrey McSorley and Nev the Deranged. Welcome, guys. It's a pleasure to have you with us here on Patreon.
Bienvenue.
And one way to support the show that doesn't involve money is rating and reviewing us on iTunes. We have a couple new ratings to share with you today. And then we also have the results of our Comic Bento giveaway, which is where we got these boxes here. Just a second. These boxes from Comic Bento, which is a mail order thing. It's kind of like Loot Crate, but with graphic novels, you get at least $50 of comic books in a box.
And, every month.
And we had this contest where people rate and review us on iTunes, send us in like, hey, I rated you, or I reviewed you, here's the review I posted, and we picked our favorite ones, and you're getting these in the mail. And, well, we're going to tell you who won.
You love us, we love you. So I won all of them, right? No? No.
Damn it. Sorry. But first, here's a brand new review from Diz Don Bates, put on the wall for Dungeons and Doritos.
A review posted to the Dungeons and Doritos iTunes page by Diz Don Bates. I started back at the tail end of book one with Cool Ranch and the Fight to Frito-Lay. God, I love those titles. Was with you for the addition of Lefty and for the loss of Mike, open paren, chair, close paren. Recently, I went back and binged the whole thing while at work. A couple episodes a day for about a week and a half. And my God, episode was so many laughs and a few tears. This is the role-playing show everyone has been longing for in podcast form. It's everyone's sessions rolled into one. Nat 20. Thanks, guys. Waiting with bated breath for more episodes.
And we'll get you more D&D episodes as soon as we can. We have two in the can already. We got post-production things a little tied up right now. When it comes back, it's going to be more regular than ever. We've said it before, but this time, oh man, we mean it.
This time Colin's not going to randomly have a baby.
Maybe. There could be another, but so far just the one.
Okay.
And then a short one. A fantastic show to get all that nerdy goodness by Matt2565864. I love the moment when I find out there's a new Nerdy Show episode. I know I'm not just getting all that info I crave, but I'll be entertained along the way.
That was Matt. What was the number?
Oh, it was 2565864.
Did Phasma have to ask him why he removed his helmet without permission?
2565864.
Now, Comic Bento winners. First up is Cerebral Paladin, with a review entitled Look at the Podcast, to be read by Tony.
Look at your old boring podcast. Now back to Nerdy Show. Now back at your old boring podcast. Now back to Nerdy Show. Sadly, your old boring podcast isn't Nerdy Show. But if you stop listening to Jock Talk and Hipster Wannabes and switch to Nerdy Show, you could be awesome, like me. Look down, back up. Where are you? You're on a podcast with the boys and girls of Nerdy Show, talking about tech, video games, music, role-playing, and books. What's in your hand? Back at me. I have it. It's a dice bag filled with unlimited supply of Dorito flavor you love. Look again. The Doritos are now Gil. Anything is possible when you listen to Nerdy Show and not your old boring podcast. I'm a lightning dog. How
nice. Congratulations to Cerebral Paladin. Well done. That was a super weird, super fun review.
And I appreciate the opportunity to read it as the Old Spice guy. Yeah. It's a dream of mine.
Next up, Magnificent Madness by Chrono Tyrant.
You gave me the one with all the fancy words in it. I'm going to have to try to read it.
It's okay, Doug. Sound them out.
This is a winner, and I'm not. So, Call of Cthulhu Mystery Program. They crawl in from the corners of reality with tenebrious tentacles and squamish flesh. The necrophagous horrors beyond human reasoning gain purchase in our world through this meticulously crafted work. Join a misfit band of housemates as they learn what nightmares exist just beyond the edges of perception. Yet another fantastic roleplay session turned radio drama by the fantastic crew at Nerdy Show. Yeah, yeah, Nerdy Show!
Yeah, yeah!
Yeah, yeah! The divine secrets of the Yeah, Yeah, Nerdy Show.
So, congratulations, Chrono Tyrant. You also won a comic bento box. And Chrono Tyrant actually also sent along a really magnificent letter, which we plan to read on an upcoming episode of Dungeons & Doritos.
Nice.
Speaking of, this is posted to the Dungeons & Doritos feed on iTunes. So Much Development by Udabak. I was a listener for the early days of D&D when it was rough and raw as night under a tapestry with Chair the Dwarf. Those recordings were enjoyable and felt like a goofy campaign run with some friends. Over time, it's developed from, I like D&D and this is fun D&D, to an actual story with plot that's worth caring about. It's lost a bit of the spontaneity and goofiness that maybe early episodes. I'm reading this wrong. It's lost a bit of the spontaneity and goofiness that many of the early episodes had that was so charming. I used the Siri thing again. I screwed up, guys. I'm sorry. Udabak, you still won. So there's that. but makes up for that with incredible improvement in production values and story. So congratulations, man. You too won a comic bento box. And then last, but definitely not least, Nathaniel Kraft with his review, My Favorite Podcast, Fun, Hilarious, and Relevant, which we read in our last news-related episode of Nerdy Show. So it was long. Dial back a couple episodes, and you'll hear it there. Nathaniel, you won. So congratulations, Cerebral Paladin, Nathaniel Kraft, Chrono Tyrant, and Udabak. You guys are all getting
Comic Bento
in the mail. Stay tuned for contact from me and or mail from us. So, yeah.
Congratulations, guys.
Let us know what's in there because we don't know.
Yeah, is it the same mystery content like The Shadow and all the other stuff when we did an unboxing? Uh-huh. We don't know. So let us know what you got. We're curious.
You guys did best.
Now, the political race is on and it's a whole miserable thing. And I like to avoid talking about it on Nerdy Show because it's not really fun and you definitely get enough of it in the rest of your life, probably.
Yeah, there's plenty of media out there. But I understand, Cap, that you've got a candidate we might actually be able to get behind.
Yeah, I think so. This is a guy on the fringe here, but he's got a very unique platform.
Okay,
and I think we should all listen to what he has to say. His name's Andrew D. Basiago.
Mm-hmm.
He's an independent, but is a prominent figure in the truth movement. What that means is he's crusading for government transparency.
Okay,
on aliens, secret technology. And protecting the Sasquatch as well as defending against cyborgs.
What about them lizard men?
Let's say that's still TBD, but the truth is out there.
TBD!
The truth is out there, and Andrew D. Basiago, he's the candidate who's going to win this for us. Now, this guy, I fell into a hole researching this fella, because... As though being a prominent
member...
How many
times have I told you not to walk around researching things on your phone around areas where there's going to be open manhole covers?
This guy is not your usual ranting redneck like those crazies on Scale Watchers. He's a respectable lawyer, okay?
Okay.
He's a lawyer.
That
he's
is
in
an
Seattle.
Oxymoron.
I may be no big city lawyer, but I think Sasquatch should be protected.
He's a Seattle lawyer.
I'm a
lawyer.
Simple country chicken.
And all the stuff that he believes is based on his own firsthand experiences.
And bird law.
What other candidate can say that? And bird law, probably. when he was a kid, his dad involved him in a government teleportation experiment and a time travel experiment.
This isn't the first time I've heard about the government teleportation experiment.
Project Pegasus?
I don't remember if that's the official name, but yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Was it one of them like the Montauk Project?
I don't know.
Quite possibly.
I didn't dig that deep, I guess.
So that might have been his father's name.
It involved a time-traveling ship. That's all I remember.
Oh, the Philadelphia Project?
Is that the Philadelphia one?
Yeah.
Okay, that one.
Where the crew disappeared from, whatever.
This is a candidate for president who claims to have been an actual time traveler. In fact, he has used this tech to advise past presidents, and he knows that he's going to win. Hence his slogan, Andy 2016, now is the time.
Okay.
Okay.
What
presidents has he advised?
Yeah.
And what advice did he give them?
Well, the presidents are in the future.
I don't have that information set aside, but I know that he did go to Mars with a young Barack Obama in the 1980s.
I have heard of this guy before. I didn't know he was running for president. Okay, yes, he went to Mars with Barack Obama. Yes.
Is that where Barack Obama was storing his long-form birth certificate?
That's a great question. We should ask him.
Because it seems like a good place. It seems why the Conservative Party wasn't able to find it or didn't believe it existed because it was off-planet.
Because he was actually born on Mars.
Could have been. First Martian president.
That was him going home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, old Andy 2016, he knows he's going to win the election, but it might not be this election. He said he has knowledge that sometime between 2016 and 2028, he's going to be elected either vice president or president.
That's pretty vague for a guy who's traveled through time.
And didn't he say now is the time? Now does not imply sometime between now and 2028.
Also, I think, he might be getting this information off of a clean timeline when he didn't ever travel through time, because now he's created a paradox where he's all cocky and trying to make this happen.
Yeah.
So he came back, and now it's probably never going to happen.
He's
going to use this as fuel to continue.
True.
Trying to justify everything that he does.
Now you guys don't understand. I've already done this and it worked. Trust me. Put the baby in the cannon. And let's get this rally started.
What I think is interesting about this is I've watched some videos of him speaking at presentations and so on. He's been coming forward with information about the declassification of, quote, Tesla teleportation since 2004. And he's really sincere about it. Like, he's like, look, there's lots of people throwing around crazy theories. I'm only telling you what I know. And I'll share with you what I suspect. And when I don't know something, I'll tell you that I don't know it. But he's like, but I know that when I was 6 years old, my dad used me and a bunch of other children as part of Project Pegasus, and I teleported when I was 6 years old from New Jersey to New Mexico, and that story was plagiarized by the show Fringe.
Are we sure he didn't just take a nap? Because I know when I would go on family trips as a child, I would.
Does he have teleport? Does he have a lot of people like showing up at these like rallies or whatever? Does he give a speech publicly, or is this just like an online blog?
I don't know, actually. I have no idea.
How many cats are present at the rallies?
Because I'll say, if this was for real, he might have my vote. Because what? Because you need, if a guy's been to the future and he literally has been to the future and he knows what's going to happen, I think he should be in the driver's seat.
But he only knows what happens in that future that he traveled to. That's not necessarily something where he...
He's also been to the past.
Okay.
And because he advised presidents, right?
Yeah.
Did he advise presidents as a 6-year-old?
Killed a butterfly in the past and completely altered everything that he saw in the future.
He could have. He could have also sat there and said, don't worry about it. Put the top down for this drive. You'll be fine.
that's the type of advice I don't want.
when he was 10, he time traveled to see the Gettysburg Address.
Okay.
And has identified himself in a photo in the Library of Congress.
Are you sure this wasn't the Hall of Presidents?
I'm also going to point out, we have identified Keanu Reeves in previous pictures as well. I'm pretty sure he's not
the same
program.
Well, think about
they
what could have been part of the same program.
It could have been.
He didn't name the other children in this Project Pegasus.
Mm-hmm.
And Keanu Reeves has done a lot of work with Columbia TriStar, which had a Pegasus as its logo for a long time.
He also has a lot of experience time traveling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
His acting,
he could have also not portrayed a lot of emotion, because that's one of the things you lose when you time jump. Stiff performance
I just think it's because in reality he's gone through time, he's seen so many things, nothing shocks him anymore, man. Like, nothing. So what's gonna get you excited when you've gone through time and you've seen all that crazy shit? And you have to reenact it for Bill and Ted. It's suddenly just like, all right, well, this doesn't look like the real thing.
Only a man who's been through time and seen everything could say the word whoa and not be surprised, sound surprised.
Yeah. Yep.
Whoa.
Yeah.
In addition to teleportation and thusly time travel, he's also witnessed a technology called Chronovision, which is an intelligence gathering device that would allow for surveillance of past and future events.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And he still hasn't been able to narrow down when he wins.
See, did he... Either that exists, or he just saw that movie Paycheck. Well, it's like Fringe and Paycheck. They all stole my life story. It's like Paycheck, that's the Ben Affleck movie.
Got really drunk one night, saw these things, and was like, yeah, that's me. That's totally
so me. Why is this time-traveling agency allowing him to say anything about this?
Well, that specific program, Project Pegasus, had him sign whatever it is you sign when you're six. When you're keeping secrets in the military as a child. But his rationale was, well, that's actually illegal because children can't – I forget what the actual terminology is, but it's the thing that sort of stopped child labor in the United States.
Sure, okay. But clandestine government projects that operate in secret probably wouldn't hesitate to kill you.
Let him talk because people will make fun of him because nobody would believe him. Who would believe such a crazy story?
Possibly, but if there was any actual national security issues, he'd be dead.
And if time travel was as possible as he's claiming,
or
he would be murdered before he said anything.
No, you're missing the most obvious answer. They can't kill him because he needs to be president in the future. It would cause a paradox. The whole thing would shut down because they saw it happen.
Now, what if a third duck was introduced into this and we had a triplicate of ducks as opposed to a pair of ducks?
What?
That's a paradox thing. He's
a
reaching.
A paradox thing?
That's a paradox.
Yep.
Basically... Andy Basiago, he has a plan, which he calls his new agenda for New America, and it's emboldened by platforms for truth, reform, innovation, and embodied in 100 proposals, all listed on his website at andy2016.com.
Can we get a taste of some of these proposals?
I highly recommend the 100 proposals on his website.
Is this like his 99 letters?
We read 100 of them.
Well, if you want to check it out at your own leisure, be my guest. I do have some highlights.
I love Goofus and Gallant.
He wants the truth out there. He wants the American people to have full disclosure.
Uh-huh.
The CIA has a secret space program. He wants to declassify all treaties made with off-planet civilizations in a live televised address that would include the number and types of ET species visiting Earth, the hidden history of U.S. government interaction with ET visitors, and the nature and extent of ET human liaison projects that resulted from contact.
See, you joke. I want to know.
I do want to know.
If that's for real, we need to know.
But we've already seen 3 documentaries about this. Are you familiar with the Men in Black series?
No. I'm talking the real deal. I'm talking about the kind that Hollywood doesn't want you
to
see.
Are you telling me that Rip Torn is not actually the head of one of these organizations?
He may have gone home for all I know.
Are we actually hosting an intergalactic kegger?
Would he have gone home?
We could.
Or would he have broken drunkenly into a bank?
Don't know.
Now, E.T. want money.
If we knew about the aliens that are among us, we could host an intergalactic kegger. And the Earth could be the most, bitch and blaze for a pieces.
Planet. Be seriously shway.
Yeah. Seriously shway.
Totally shway. Now, there's some reasonable things. He wants to abolish political parties. I hate him. Get rid of that shit. I want that done. He wants to strengthen environmental protection for not just plants and other species, but humans as well. As in, like, when decisions are being made about the environment, that it'll consider the lasting backlash on humanity because corporations typically don't necessarily value human
future
life.
Generations.
So, yeah, sure. Okay, that makes sense. Sure. The president should establish a Senate Truth Commission to allow former executive branch, intelligence, and military personnel to reveal secret information with immunity from persecution. That's interesting.
Where does he stand on, like, LGBT and women's rights and
bathroom does he want me to use?
I didn't necessarily see any of that in my scanning.
Because if he's like, dude, fuck that. We're all humans. We got to think intergalactic.
That's exactly his platform.
Then I'm for it.
he wants to promote economic prosperity for all humans. In the 21st century, these are his words, a consensus will emerge that we are 7 billion team members on a planetary spaceship or we are nothing at all. The president should go to the UN and make the argument that if humanity cannot create a political economy in which all 7 billion of Earth's inhabitants are provided food, shelter, healthcare, education, and employment, then we do not deserve to venture out into the wider cosmos at all.
See, when you started this, this was like a joke. Now I'm at a point where can we risk not voting for him?
A preposterous planetary culture that does not allocate its resources to all its citizens is an anti-civilization from which the cosmos should be protected.
You know, I love Sid Meier's anti-civ games.
Now,
if this dude has been through time, and if he has been to other planets, and all of this is true, how can we afford to not have him be president.
And here's another good thing. One of his 100 points, resolving basic cosmological mysteries. A true understanding of the cosmos that we inhabit is the common heritage of humankind, yet fundamental cosmic controversies persist. The president should declare a new international geophysical year and point a blue ribbon commission to investigate and resolve basic cosmological mysteries. That sounds great. The international geophysical year was a thing that happened in the late 1950s, and it was this huge thing that, for a brief moment before Sputnik shot up into the sky, actually united all the world scientists in an information sharing group, that some of which the facilities still exist and are still used to this day. It promoted innovation over this time period. That's a great idea. These mysteries include whether the Earth is round or flat, whether the Earth is solid or hollow, whether NASA landed men on the moon or hoaxed the lunar landings, and whether the cosmos is a natural and organic, or whether the cosmos is artificial and holographic.
Now, the last one's a harder to answer. Everything else is pretty easy. I think we can do that. We can start solving these mysteries pretty quick.
I don't know. B.O.B. seems to have some pretty legitimate claims as to why the Earth is actually flat. Stay woke.
Or you
it's
could
flat
just
and hollow.
Or anyone out there can go buy a GoPro and a weather balloon and just let it go up, let it come down, and look at what you see.
This is a man still wondering, having gone through time, is the Earth flat?
In his defense, it could just be we need the definitive proof for everybody.
Doug,
he may know.
Doug, you asked a question earlier as to whether or not if he had just done these things, can we afford not to vote for him?
Right.
I will raise you a counterpoint that he's the only one to have claimed to do this. So whatever future information he's bringing back, he's the one determining what to share with us. So maybe this leads us to a new utopia.
Right.
Or maybe this is his plan to rise to power, become the tyrant that he knows himself to be, and lay waste to everything that we know and love.
But how much...
He wouldn't tip us off that he had future knowledge or anything, though.
He would just take advantage of it. Yeah.
I'm not saying he's
like
smart.
Like Donald Trump.
Guys, I think that's why his hair looks the way it does. That is time swept.
It is time swept.
That is him having experienced time swept. Because he's been drinking a lot of Schweppes ginger ale. It's one of the few drinks you can take into the time stream and not have it boil inside
it's
you.
It's the purest liquid.
Absolutely. None of that candidate dry. None of that candidate dry
water,
bullshit.
You go too fast, water's going to boil. It'll eat your insides. You got to go with that.
You got to go with Schweppes.
Yeah. Carbonated.
But perhaps.
Carries oxygen bubbles so you can breathe in the time stream.
Again, I'm not necessarily saying this gentleman is particularly intelligent, as evidenced by his question, having been to the future and to Mars, asking the question... Hold on a second. He did say he'd been to Mars.
Yes,
future Mars.
So he's a chrononaut.
No.
He's an astronaut.
Because Barack Obama was with him
to Mars. But he could have traveled through time and then went to Mars.
Which would
make more sense because how would you get there?
Because he was in Mars in the 1980s. So yes, he did travel through. He teleported to a base.
There's a base on Mars they built, and he was in the base.
But the point I'm getting at, bunking with
Barack, basically.
He's been to Mars, doesn't know if we've landed
on the moon, and doesn't know if the Earth is flat, but has been to Mars.
He's not saying he doesn't know. He's just saying there needs to be an open congressional discussion showing the truth of what happened.
But he's been there.
Yes.
What discussion? He's been there. The discussion is, hey, look, this is my vacation photos.
This isn't him saying, I want answers. This is him saying there needs to be a global stage in which we can openly discuss these things and find the real answers. He's not saying one way or another. He's not saying we didn't go to the moon. He's not saying the Earth is flat. He's saying there needs to be an open thing where anyone can bring information and show. So the people who have that theory of the Earth being flat can have it discussed in an open place without being made fun of and get to the real answers.
But he has the real
answers. But people like that need to be made fun of because they're idiots.
That's survival of the fittest.
Then they got to be out in the open. It's got to be open information for everybody.
Sometimes you have to defend something that's rare and precious, even if it's stupid. And I mean,
that's America.
For example, the Sasquatch. As he says, Sasquatch exists. I know.
I went with him to Venus.
I'm the first U.S. political candidate since Theodore Roosevelt to declare publicly I have encountered the Sasquatch.
I don't know if Theodore Roosevelt actually declared he'd seen Sasquatch.
T.R.'s encounter with the Sasquatch. T.R. first encountered Sasquatch when a scared one wandered into his campsite one night when he was on his great North American ape expedition. And meanwhile, Andy Basiago encountered an adult male Sasquatch and his young son when I was camping at Lake Sacadanga in the Adirondacks in 1966.
Hold on, Lake Sacadong?
that's my mispronunciation of, I'm sure, a beautiful Native American language that I have butchered. Just
I am also curious as to what Sasquatch was doing with his son. Are they in the Sasquatch Scouts? Was he going for a merit badge?
Teach him to hunt.
I like the merit badge theory.
Because that's what I'm thinking. And do they have, like, patches that they just sew to their fur, or do they, like, braid the fur into the patch?
Is this like, is this like a hair clip.
Is this like that Tenacious D movie? he gets high on mushrooms.
Papa Sass?
Yeah, Papa Sass.
He's my sassafras.
Baba Ganoush.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's like, can I be a Sasquatch?
You are, JP. You my little baby Sass.
Is Andy the lost member of Tenacious D?
He could be. Could be. Now, how do you feel about cyborgs? I mean, we've met a cyborg. I mean, Neil Harbison.
Every cyborg we've had a discussion with was very polite, very nice.
How do you feel about, like, just the transhumanist agenda?
Is this where we're going to have to sit
there? I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little worried about it.
Well, hey, this might be the president for you, Doug. Because he's opposing the transhumanist agenda. Human life is sacred. It should not be enslaved, sold, or suppressed by any of the technologies associated with the transhumanist agenda, including artificial intelligence, cloning, genetic engineering, microchipping, robotics, and surveillance. America should lead the world in fostering humane precepts that manage the transition to a more technically advanced society without debasing the sanctity, dignity, and individuality of humans. There should be laws protecting human rights of clones and banning the microchipping of human beings.
Yeah, man. I don't want no microchip in my brain.
Yeah.
As soon as I can upload my consciousness into a computer, it's done.
But then what? But you're not going to be in the computer. It's just,
I know.
It's a copy.
I realize.
Well, then
that.
What's the point?
Why not?
That's a human right.
It's me, and it'll still be out there.
And this is also begging the question, what is a soul? What makes a human? Because if Bohr has all of his data on a computer, what's Bohr and what is the copy of Bohr? Because if they're virtually indistinguishable from one another.
Also, some people think that immortality is as simple as, like, doing something memorable or having a statue or something. My consciousness is still around.
Yeah, I'm also going to point out that Ozymandias.
But it's not really your consciousness if it's just if it's a facsimile.
If it's a crappy copy, moment, sure, but if it's a perfect copy.
Even if it's a perfect copy, the moment you're separate, it is its own consciousness. It's not your consciousness.
Yeah, but it's based loosely on mine.
But it's not yours, are not immortal.
You know, no, this is interesting because this ties back into the teleportation theory.
But it's still closer to immortality than having a statue.
You're not wrong. But I got to point out, Andy talked about being teleported when he was six. Yes. Yeah. There is a running question that goes along with teleportation as to whether or not...
He could always say that it was a wormhole.
It could be a wormhole, but you're being disassembled at the molecular level.
But is that what happened?
Only if you're talking about Stargate wormholes. If you're talking about an actual folding space thing, then you just walked essentially...
through...
It just cuts the difference out.
A wrinkle in time.
So he hasn't actually said how he was teleported, but if he has, then he's been cloned and he has been copied. The same as you would do if you were to copy your consciousness.
If it was a Star Trek transporter, even though there's arguments that the Star Trek transporters don't do that really either.
And they put it back together again. They don't copy you.
Some people will argue that.
Exactly. But it's a question. It's a discussion. But it's something that he's taken a very firm stance on.
There is also the philosophy that they are death machines that then create a copy of you.
And what's the copy? What is you? Is there, if you have all the same memories retained at the same time, then has anything actually been lost or gained? So, but he's taken a very firm stance on what that means to be human,
What he's essentially saying here is it should be illegal to augment your body to your specifications. It should be illegal for you to willingly
prosthetic arms?
Make yourself a cyborg. I mean, like, you know, where does it end? He wants to protect the sanctity of humanity.
We can't give vision to blind people or hearing to deaf people or like legs to people without legs.
Because if we're talking about modifying just your basic human form, are we not allowed to work out? Are we not allowed to try and self-improve?
Well, if that involves ingesting nanomachines that are going to enhance your metabolism, which I would like some of, thank you very much.
Or even using a workout machine.
You don't need them. String bean.
I want them.
Bohr's trying out for a role in a skeleton.
But he's a health-conscious guy. For example, this is one of his biggest platforms, promoting egg consumption as a developmental tool.
I you lost. I don't know what that means.
But I understand egg all those words separately.
The most essential nutrient for fostering human intellectual performance is the protein found in egg whites, albumin. National literacy rates, obviously, are directly correlated with...
Cap, have you been eating enough eggs?
No, just marshmallows today. with the national rates of daily per capita egg consumption, the president should launch a global developmental initiative based on promoting the production and consumption of eggs. The goal should be one egg per person per day. In this way, we will promote global development at the most fundamental level, individual mental performance. I'm just going to say it right now. He's a reptilian. Only a reptilian.
Shit.
Oh, shit.
But they can only eat chicken eggs or bird eggs.
He's not. He's talking about chicken eggs.
Well, he's not going to, you know.
Consume the eggs.
He is promoting egg consumption. He wants to increase the per capita consumption of the eggs and the fornicating with the chickens.
He wants all that albumin. He wants that albumin.
He wants that albumin for himself on account of he's a dirty egg-sucking lizard, man.
Motherfucker.
There's nothing to this Andy Basiago wants more than slurp down on a chicken egg or preferably a human gonad.
Which
as we know, protecting the Sasquatch, which may very well be an ally of the lizard folk.
That's true.
I think they are. They have been allies for many, many years, because that's why he has gone into hiding, so he can
protect the Sasquatch.
He can the Sasquatch.
Anyway,
they're
going to use him as the muscle, as the stormtrooper of the lizard army.
And according to Andy, he has been breeding. He is working on that army. So we don't know how many chickens.
Breeding program, or was that a scout?
How do we vote for this guy anyway?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
And you have to write it in. Write in the name.
He's a write-in candidate for.
Oh,
so am I. So is anybody.
He's running as a write-in candidate because, and this does genuinely suck. Apparently, ballot access to all 50 states will run you $5 million.
What?
Yes.
But this motherfucker's a time traveler!
Even though constitutionally the only thing that holds you back is your nationality and your age to being the president, it actually, in this day and age, there's an unwritten, unconstitutional necessity for $5 million to line the pockets of someone somewhere.
Wow.
So
they can write your name on a paper.
Right. And as it stands, not even all 50 states actually have write-ins anymore. Only 43 of the 50. But fortunately, as Andy says, These missing states are all super low in population. So, Annie invites you to, quote, partake with us in a grand political experiment. Let us for the first time elect a president, who has waged a write-in candidacy.
Another thing I want to know is how did he rise to be a president in the uncontaminated timeline where he never traveled through time?
There's a lot of details.
Is such a thing possible?
I mean,
is there an uncontaminated timeline, or in the original timeline, has he always traveled through time, and that's why he decided to run for president?
It depends on what type of time travel you believe in,
or what type of time travel he's claiming to have done.
Would you like me to try to get him on the show?
Oh, absolutely. If we could have him on the show, I would be so happy.
Okay, maybe I will.
I don't care
what it takes.
Okay, I cannot and will not be there.
Where is he based out of?
Seattle.
Of course he is.
If we have to fly there, I don't care. Let's do it.
He wants to, with his writing candidacy, disgrace the two major parties with a gusto equal to the disdain by which they disgrace us. Which I think is a great statement.
That is a great statement. Unfortunately, it's coming from...
Oh, I have an idea.
Yes.
Can we tell him that we know that we're going to be a huge nerd network someday that will take over?
No, not nerd network, a huge media empire.
Can we ask him if he's heard about Lightning Dogs?
No, like, we have to appeal.
My favorite show growing up when I was on the moon. It's like we watched all the time.
We have to have a source that we won't disclose to him and just tell him like, we're gonna be huge someday, we're told. And your interview is going to be the spark that ignites the flame of us, our takeover, or something.
Together.
I think it'll work.
Yeah.
You make fun of the man, but if he is for real, you'll be sorry.
No, I'm saying we need to get on this guy's side.
If he is for real and we're sorry, that means that my secret tyrant from the future theory is the more appropriate one.
No.
Just saying.
No, not necessarily. No,
then why would we be sorry?
The secret tyrants are already around.
Yeah, the secret tyrants are already here. And if he wanted to be a tyrant, he wouldn't announce that he's from the future.
Now, and say, granted, I just realized a problem, because one of his 100 points was he wants to restore dignity to the presidency.
Mm-hmm.
When one considers great men who served as president, including Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, the Roosevelts, Kennedy, and Reagan, were struck by the dignity that can be brought to the presidency. But President Clinton and Obama diminished this dignity by appearing on late night talk shows as if comedian in chief. So I don't know if he's going to want to be
late night talk show, though. We're seeking the truth.
We are seeking the truth in a very funny way. I don't know if he's going to go for
it. We're underground and we're grassroots, just like him.
We are pretty far underground.
Underground radio. Maybe he meant only when you become president, because he's not president yet. How can you preserve presidential dignity when you're not the president?
We'll get to the bottom of that.
That's a fair point.
To the bottom of that.
Deep to the bottom in the very far darkness.
Yep. Anyway, thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. Taking us out is a track called Reptilian by Young Crybaby. Young Crybaby was actually what I was saying.
Oh, wow.
A.K.A. Mouth's Cradle, A.K.A. Heaven Pegasus. This is from their Off the Radar 2013 album, Pennsylvania Hunger, which is no longer publicly available. So enjoy this, because this is a deep cut that the Reptilian government doesn't want you to hear. Reptilian by Young Crybaby.
Keep them off the air! Keep them underground.
If it was instead of one egg per day, if it was one marshmallow per day, then I think, no, he's definitely from the future. He definitely knows what's going on.
He's insured the success of Sugar Rush marshmallows.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, if he was saying one marshmallow a day, he'd have my vote.
The marshmallow party? The
marshmallow party.
Yes.
The fluff party.
That sounds a little dirty.
Go to fluffparty.cx.
Dalai Lama, hockey puck, Molly's in his helmet. Pizza face, sucking on lollies that I would probably want. Don't even make it then, heaven sent limericks. Pass out, looking at static, I found my images. It all started with the creepy news anchor and a little chill creeping up my red right ankle. Honk like the symbol on the second gate. Checking out the Nikes, I'm rocking like I'm in heaven's gate. Swag, up for 24 hours, Keeper Sutherland. Coded message in my rhyme, stalked by the government. Eclipse fades with the scepter in my other hand. Bright lights flashing and taking me to the motherland. Now a stranger, flipping through my Rolodex. Simmer down, kids don't know what he's holding yet. Cigarette in between my lips like licorice. Curiosity, kill the honey dipped Icarus. Compound swallowed by a firestorm. Think fast or you're gonna face my final form. Got to get you lost like Gilligan. Don't fall in love with the shape-shifting reptilian. Compound swallowed by a firestorm. Think fast or you're gonna face my final form. About to get you lost like Gilligan. Don't fall in love with the shape-shifting reptilian. Cold-blooded, but only sometimes. Boy genius with the fury behind his dumb rhymes. At the checkpoint for stage 2. If you knew what I knew, you would be afraid too. Speak up, can't hear you. Lost transmission from a planet called Nibiru. Not smart enough for Mensa, but the only one aware of the reptilian agenda. Reveal it, don't wreck my spirit, running interference, no government clearance, plane crash into clearance. Crybaby on a secret mission, out of ammunition, with the microchip chipping at his volition. And my militia got the camouflage, spitting bars like, look mine, no handlebars, but now drops. Mouse cradle deep in heavy things, what's so terrible, how about everything? Swallowed by a firestorm. Think faster, you're gonna face my final form. About to get you lost like Gilligan. Don't fall in love with the shape-shifting reptilian. Compound swallowed by a firestorm. Think faster, you're gonna face my final form. About to get you lost like Gilligan. Don't fall in love with the shape-shifting reptilian.
Thanks for listening to Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.
I thought right. that you did a great job, miss.
Shut up! Shut up! Now explain!
I am not sure what gender you are. I've been down here for years and I still haven't.
Why don't you have a close look?
Because every time
stare into my cloaca!
I don't know what
stare
that means.
Stare into it! Look at it! I vented my nitrates at you!
Oh god, my nostrils are burning! Oh, ow, 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 ow.